I'm going to hand it off to our brother Jeff, our wonderful elder Jeff, and he's going to share the oracles of God today.
Got to turn this off. I want to start out by saying, concerning this message that God has given me, I want to thank Pastor for helping me to see what God was wanting to do in this particular message, and I feel very confident that God has definitely given me this message, the title, the details about it, and what I'm going to speak about it. But what I want to start out before we get into it is I look at you guys, I want you to realize that no matter where you're at in your life, what I'm trying to say is Patty and I are actually doing pretty good right now. We're not in the middle of a major trial. We're doing pretty good in so many areas of our life right now. So it's kind of like we're on the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no storm. But I want you to know that God, if I know, I know God knows that wherever you're at, that God is wanting to speak as if this could be the last message that you hear on this side. And he wants you to know that he's no respecter of persons, and that he wants to give you the kingdom of God. He wants to bless your life. And that's why I can speak so confidently today in this message, is I am just blown away at where I came from and where I'm at. So let me get started. The word landlocked, I want to give the definition of it to start out with, is especially of a country almost entirely surrounded by land, having no coastline or seaport. And this is the part I like about landlocked. And God gave me this title for this message. A midget state landlocked in the mountains. If you're a disciple of Christ, you are on a narrow road. The wide road leads to destruction. And the church is always going to be this small little place on this earth. It's always going to be that. And we're going to be hated, and we're not going to be loved by the world. It's just that simple. Think about Israel, the nation of Israel. Me some hair there hanging. It's a string. I don't have hair that long.
I do.
Patty does. That was Patty's knowledge. But so the ideal of this message today is literally to be landlocked with God. And as I prepared for this and I saw something in this Deuteronomy, because a lot of this scripture I've known for a lot of years, and it was just what God just brought to me. But God brought this landlocked ideal to me in the middle, and we'll look at it here shortly. But the two verses, to start out with the lead verse, as we look on the things that are seen, but as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. And that's what I want us to focus on today, is what is not seen. For the things that are seen are transient. I like the NIV a little better on that one, temporary. But I know you folks are really smart. You know what transient means. It throws me off a hair, but I do like the NIV better. This is ESV. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, there's two things going on in this verse of Scripture coming from the Apostle Paul. The transient or the temporary and the eternal. Now, this second verse, as far as the lead verse, I've always said this in my heart. God showed this to me a long time ago. This is why Jesus was so successful. We sit there and we don't always realize, Scripture tells us that the reason Jesus was so successful, and I'll read it. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." And God showed that to me a long time ago. We know that Jesus rose the dead. He cast devils out. He led people to Him. People got saved. There was power beyond comprehension. But guess what, church? He also told us that we would do everything He has done and even greater things we would do. And there's a lot of, I understand some of the concepts about that we're many. There's more of us than what Jesus was on this earth. But it's an encouraging thing to me personally that we will do what Jesus did. And I'm telling you, I'm going to get into a little bit more as we get through this. I forgot to time this, but it's okay. We're good. About 30 minutes total. He was so successful, and we can be so successful when we don't look at what we can see, but look at the unseen. And the world is so fixed with what they can see, and they mess with one another about it. Oh, you don't look too good. Oh, you're not rich enough. You're not smart enough. It just on and on. It never ends. And some of us, most of us in the room understand that. But now I want to look at Deuteronomy. Now, what I've got to, how I've set this up is you've got to eat, drink, and sleep Jesus. And that's exactly what's being said here. And you'll get that. If you've already read it, that's fine. But we're going to read both contexts, Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11. And then I'm going to make some comments about that I believe God showed me. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You will write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now skip down to the other eat, drink, and sleep Jesus, which is Deuteronomy 11. It says the same thing. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You will write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And when I saw those scriptures many years ago, I titled it Eat, Drink, and Sleep Jesus. I didn't have to think much to title that, subtitle this. But that's what the heart of this message was about, the commands of God. The commands are not burdensome. The commands are not what the world embraces at all. And they're unseen. You know, the word is something that only the church embraces. But as we're going to get into, there's still choices that we have to make. And you're going to see a lot of twos in this message. But what I want to read now is, is God showed me this long ago, and this is part of the comments I want to make here, is my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That comes out of Hosea 4:6. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. I was Sunday school director for 10 to 15 years here, and now, of course, Patty's, you know, we went from Sunday school to children's church through Dave Rabone's leadership, and that's where we're at as a church right now. So I know the commands of God. I like the commands of God. I like this book. I'm blown away at what God has done for me in the last 28 years. He's opened it up to me. He showed me the truth. And I'm so far from being over or the end. But we have got to put forth effort. And when Hosea said, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge," he wasn't talking to the lost. He was talking to us. And when you really look at the context of Hosea in that time, there's hardly nothing good said about pretty much a pretty large group of people, the Levites and a bunch. And it's almost like that these were people that knew the oracles of God, but had decided to let the drift factor take them away to where they become rebellious. They were enticed to just throw in the towel. And I'm telling you, folks, I've been through some tough times. Patty and I have been through some very troubling times in the past 28 years. So we know what it's like to suffer. We know what it's like to have suicide. But when you stay the course and you fight the good fight and you stay in the mix with God, even though you're more not as zealous and it's not as easy to worship God. It's not as easy as to read His Word. It's not as easy to pray in those bad, troubling, difficult times. I know that. I've been there. Not real proud of myself, except for Patty and I stayed in the mix, and here we stand today. Through those times that we did not, because I have seen dead bodies all over the narrow road since I've been in this place. I've been here a long time. People that fall away, people that give up because of death, destruction, but be prepared for it. If we would look at this, the commandments of God, we would be able to serve. We're going to be able to survive the storms, and they're coming. There's stuff that hasn't happened yet that's going to happen. And I don't like to say that. It even scares me about what is me and Patty going to face in the future. We don't know. But gosh, we're just trying to hold on to Christ in the midst of it. And right now, as I said, things are going pretty good. The second point comes out of John 14, 26. And it's Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit. And what He says is, the Holy Spirit will remind you of all truth. And that's another thing God showed me a long time ago. I know I keep saying, well, God showed me this a long time ago. Well, I'm getting ready to show you something that God just showed me here recently. Well, seriously, if you go after God, which is only through the book, and the book will bring you to the church, amen, and the book will keep you in the church, yep, but God showed me long ago that the Holy Spirit, when Jesus gave the teaching out of that 14:26, and I have a memory verse for y'all here in a moment, that the Holy Spirit would remind us of all truth. If we don't have any truth for the Holy Spirit to work with, we won't be reminded of nothing but what we know about, whether it's fantasy football or whatever, and I don't care about whatever I just said. I'm just saying as an example. I don't, whatever. Sports, Netflix, movies, actors, politicians, whatever, current events, I get that. I know a lot of that stuff right now and follow it probably a little bit too much sometimes. But God's powerful Holy Spirit that comes into us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior is wanting to remind us of truth and work with us. And so He does not for, he if He doesn't have anything to work with, and I've just seen too many people that just, they think that, you know, I jokingly told someone a while ago that we were talking about education, college education, and I said, yeah, I've got a PhD, a pretty hard Duke, you know, but what, I've got a GED, and I'm here to tell you, and some of you that really know me well, like Pastor Case especially, but a lot of you other folks have been around here and watched me grow up in this place, just like he watched his kids grow up, Maya, for instance, as an example. We know that we know the truth, and the truth has set us free, and He gives us that truth so that He can remind us when we need it. And that's what God has done for me for such a long time. But if we don't lay hold of these commands, and like I said at the onset, everyone sitting in this room, I mean this with all my heart, I don't care where you're at academically. I don't care whether you don't read the Word that much and you've been a Christian 10 years. Today is the day. And you can know for a fact that God wants to show you the truth. And He wants to give you life and that more abundantly. But it's not going to come if we watch Netflix and that's about all we do in our spare time. We work, we play a little bit, and then in our spare time when we could be looking at this wonderful book, and I make no apologies, there is no sense in us being ignorant of this book. And I know it takes a lot of discipline, and I still don't know why me or myself, being someone with virtually no education until after I got saved, and that was a GED. I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not overly proud of it. It just is what it is. But he gave me the truth. And I think one of them was in the Southern Baptist Church when I first got saved, my first year of salvation, and then the latter 27 have been right here the whole time, was that I saw in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, "Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he will be filled." And they are the ones who taught me the memory verse, asking to be given, seeking you'll find, knocking, door will be opened to you. So I asked God to give me a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I still ask it. I even ask God to help me not to rebel against his church. I ask him that still. Why? Because I'm vulnerable. And just as soon as you think that you can't be deceived as a Christian, just as soon as you think you cannot be deceived, it just happened. Our enemy, the devil, he's a bad hombre. And we need to stay focused on Christ and look to him. And he won't trip us up. He's still going to get some stuff off. He still does once in a while. Me and Patty fought about this tie this morning. Just kidding. Just kidding. We didn't fight. John 14:21. And this is a verse that I memorized a long time ago. And it's about the commands. This is Jesus speaking. Whoever has my commands and obeys them. He is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I am outrageously blown away at the Word of God and how God has opened up the truth to me so that me and Patty are where we're at today. But I'm telling you, where are Patty and I going to be this time 5 years from now? Hopefully it's going to be in Christ. And if it is, if it plays out that way, because I don't just think that there's no way that I can rebel against God or his church, which are inseparable, because I can. I've got a temper. I've got a flesh that's pretty strong, and so do you. But the Word, by God's powerful Holy Spirit, and the fellowship that we have with one another helps keep us from doing that. But the risk is there. But, I mean, I am pretty stable. Patty and I actually are pretty stable. The reason I say Patty and I a bunch is I'm starting to think that way more because it's just the truth. I'm this or I'm that. No, it's Patty and I. But we do believe that God is going to take us to better places. He's going to keep us on that narrow road, which is going to be better for us overall than to just go ahead and throw in the towel and say, we're done with this Jesus stuff, this Jesus freak stuff, this Victory Christian Fellowship church stuff. We're done. I can't do it. And you shouldn't either. But we're tempted to. I know in this room there's a handful of people that could easily throw in the towel today. And there's some of us that's as pondered it at different times in our Christian life. Well, that was the last verse. Let's look at two lands, the middle section. I'll read it. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you're going over to possess, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their offspring, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land that you are entering to take possession of, it is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. Verse 11 and 12 are my main focal today for the most part, if I can stay there, stay focused on that. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Blessing and curse. He clearly showed me in these verses, those couple verses in the middle of this thing, to me it was outrageously powerful. Another example of good and evil, light and darkness, blessing and curse, and I'd never seen that in there. That's tucked away in old school Deuteronomy hard-line commandments. And yet it was so powerful to me personally, and so powerful that I thought it should be powerful to you guys too today. But then God, when that came, I knew He was wanting me to make that the main focal, is that we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and we have choices to make continuously, like I've already kind of alluded to, that we can rebel against the church, we can rebel against God, we can throw in the towel because of trouble and trial, and I get that. What God showed me, and Brent, if you want to bring that up now, is it up yet? Yeah, go ahead and bring up that Hebrews 11, 24, 26. What I'm going to show you is what God told me to do here is to bring up these two folks, a man and a woman. So we got the gender thing going on here, but the woman didn't fare as well. But we are constantly on that escalator, and we are constantly dealing with the drift factor. But God showed me what Moses did. I mean, this verse of Scripture, because I knew this verse, and God reminded me to use this verse for this message. And I've got it written here. Is it up? Yes, it is. Okay, I'm going to read it. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Moses is in Egypt. He's got the opportunity to walk like they walked, and he chose not to. It's a good example in that regard. There's no doubt about it. Moses was in Egypt. He's raised there. Now he's there, but it says, and it's not in Hebrews. It's not until Hebrews. And he regarded Christ as more important. So he made a good choice, and like I said earlier, and I've seen too many dead bodies come right out of this place right here, laying along the narrow road that I'm still walking, and it bothers me a lot because of the enticement, because of rebellion, because of temptation to throw in the towel through dark times and difficult times, and I have great compassion for that, but Moses made a good choice here. He absolutely made a good choice. Such a good choice during that period of time that he was alive, that it was recorded in Hebrews and shown to us. And of course, at the Mount Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah, who showed up to talk to Jesus one day, and the disciples saw that. So he made a good choice. In fact, Genesis 19, 26, next. Now, Miss Lot, she didn't do so good. And I'm not going to get into all the details of the long story. Many of y'all know the Sodom and Gomorrah story of the angels that showed up at Lot's house, and Lot's wife was there and his two daughters. But the bottom line is, he told them, flee for your lives. Flee for your life ASAP. Hustle, 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 hustle. I can't destroy this mess that God has told us to destroy, the two angels it is, until you folks get out of here. And don't look back. He clearly said, don't look back. She looked back, of course, as we know, and there was a consequence for that and a price to pay. So it's a couple examples of being so in love with this world. We're in this world, but not of it, by our own choices. That scripture is easy to read or memorize, but it takes a lot of work to fulfill in our lives that, yeah, we're here and we're dealing with the bombardment of all the stuff around us that we see and hear, and it's troubling or whatever, but we can be in a refuge in the midst of this very messed up world that we live in. We can even be blessed in our work. I've experienced it over and over and over again. And I've been through some weird struggles in the Department of Corrections. And I think there's a new employee, and I've seen him back here a while ago, Steve. But we can be victorious in the midst of that. And now I want to focus on 11, 12 a little bit more. But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Think about those verses, folks. That is where God's blessing, that's where God pours out blessings upon us. And we're constantly, daily, you know, setting the stage of where we're going to be in that, whether we're going to stay in that land flowing with milk and honey. It's a state of mind. It's an attitude. And it's, but when we stay in God's perfect will, I mean, there is blessing. I've experienced it. That's why I can confidently say, if you will go after God, if you will go after the commandments of God, His Word, and meditate on that Word, it will bring you life and that more abundantly. I am so overwhelmed by the fact, and me and Patty are laughing about the blessing of God. But we have got to go after it. And if we don't, we're not going to do it. And going into that, look at verse 12, a land that the Lord your God cares for. He cares for the land that He is managing for Patty and I. His eyes are on it. And it reminded me of an old Pastor Hyatt saying, God will pay for what He wants to build. And you will pay for what you want to build. It's so much better to stay in the mix with God and only move and do what God wants us to do. Build what God wants us to do. Build. And it'll be fine. And even think, and this is an encouragement to those looking for a piece of property for a new church building for this particular fellowship. Now, what if God waits 10 years to bring that to pass? I don't know. But I know that if we do what God wants us to do, He's going to back us up on it. Now, He's factored in our shortcomings and our failures on it. But, you know, some people just literally, God is so much on the back burner, so much in the back seat, they're just trucking down the highway with no desire to even be concerned about what God is saying or wanting to do in their life. And this is not an arrogant statement, but not so with Patty and I. We're just trying to fight the good fight. We fought the old fight. My mother-in-law's here. She's glad we're fighting a different fight. But seriously.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really want her to go that far. No. No, it's so. But the two lands that we're seeing in 11 and 12. Well, actually 10 and 11 and 12. The old land and the new land. Now look at the definition of land. It is so powerful to me personally. A portion of the earth's solid surface. Duh. For real. A portion of the earth's solid surface distinguishable by boundaries or ownership. God has laid boundaries for you and I by the commandments of God that the children's church leaders are teaching the children of this church and the Bible Adventure and, hi Tony, the youth and the other fellowship and the other examples that are being lived out in front of these kids. God's got boundaries. He owns it all. He owned Egypt. He owned the devil. It's all His. But He says, don't go over here, Jeff. I want you to stay right here. You know, whatever the case is. And that's the facts for all of us. We need to find out where God, if we're getting ready to do something big, put it on the back burner. Take plenty of time before you make a decision on it. Kind of the conclusion, and I'm getting close to being wrapped up here. If we focus on the commands, it will keep us focused on the eternal, the unseen. This word, I cannot stress it enough. This book is what gives us, you know, the life. We can't have it any other way. And the last thing I'm going to say about the Word is when I got saved, I've got this written down here. When I got saved, I was in the First Baptist Church, and it was a great experience for me, an awesome, awesome experience. 1 year, Vandalia, Missouri. Went through their 6-month discipleship program called Survival Kit. I did the first 3 months, I did that second 3 months. Psalm 119, verse 11 was my first memory verse. I'm 27 years old. I'm 55 today. I've hidden thy word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Some of y'all know that verse. I've seen you saying it. So I might not. It was a good memory verse so that we can start to understand what kind of new world are we in. We got called out of darkness. Now we're in his light. What are we supposed to do? Keep on sinning? No. But when we do, we have someone we can ask to forgive us. It's just that simple. But it was so funny when I was in that discipleship program meeting with the deacon. I used to know his name. I can't remember it now. But I don't think people realize how much of an effect we all have on different people in the past, in our history. But he was cool to me, and I was 27 years old, and I was a wild man, and now I'm like freaked out about my new salvation, and it felt good, no doubt about it. It was very delivering, and the burden was gone, man. I was like, wow, this is awesome. And that's just the facts. I really was. And Patty was happy about that, honestly. And so was Jackie, and even my mom. But I was in some literature with the Southern Baptist Convention, and this is not a put down the Southern Baptist Convention, but they said in their literature that a good portion of their membership had a third grade education in the Word of God. And all I'm saying is, as an elder in this church, I do not want anyone in this place to live beneath their privilege as a child of God. I really, truly don't. If all of you all, and I'm not trying to say I'm an old guy or an old wise guy, I'm just saying, if all of y'all was my grandchildren, that's exactly what I would say to my grandchildren, and I actually do. I got five of them, and they're awesome. I lay hands on them. I cry when I say goodbye to them over in Illinois. You're going to get to see them Labor Day weekend, actually. They're going to be here. But in the world, for some of you educators in this room, which would include Christian education, if you're an adult man at 27 years old and only have a third grade education in the Word of God or in academics, you probably wouldn't be able to read. You probably wouldn't be able to do basic simple math or whatever. And we look at it as kind of a negative thing. But in the church, it seems to be, it's just going to happen. People aren't going to have the discipline. I beg you. Whether, wherever you're at in that spectrum of knowing the Word of God, go after it. And I'm telling you, 5 years from now, who knows where you'll be? A lot of these folks, there's a lot of you that are pretty studious about the Word. I understand that, and I know that. But you're the ones like me, and I'm not trying to separate myself from anybody in this place. That's not what I'm saying. Know where you're going to be 5 years from now. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs chapter 4, right now, it says, and I tried to share this with Joel here about 3 weeks ago when I was at his house. I couldn't find it. It's funny. It's right there staring in front of me. But this is the beginning of wisdom. Get wisdom. And don't let understanding desert you. It's just powerful. All these verses. It's so funny. We all stand here and say, oh, my favorite verse, or I love this verse. And if you listen to any of us, 10 years later, you said you loved that verse, and it was like bukus of different verses throughout your whole, because it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. I'm about done. And I am going to be kind of rough about it's so funny Pastor mentioned the eclipse, because I already thought about him on this. All right, turn it over. Pretty please. I got to wrap this up. I'm doing pretty good. 35 minutes, 38. The result, and this is the box, and this has hit me the other night. The box is kind of landlocked, isn't it? But this is what I've been saying lately. The future is bright, church. The future is bright. You've got your spouse now. You've got your new marriage now. You've got your little ones coming along the way, and some of you still waiting. And some of you's waiting for the marriage ceremony. Thank December 16th. Praise the Lord. But the future's bright. Now, let's look at the result. If we look at the commandments of God, if we go after this book, Jeremiah 33:3 was so easy for God to remind me because I knew it. I'm not being arrogant. But it is what it is. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things you have not known. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed to us in His book of the law belong to us and our children after us. Jeremiah 33:3 is something I learned that scripture through pastor probably 10, 12, 14 years ago. It's been a long time ago. He's been here over 18 years now. He brought forth this scripture, and I mean, look at, there's such good stuff in this book. And when I turn, you know I'm going to be 100 someday. I may be on the other side. That is if the Lord tarries, or I live to be 90 and then I die, and then, but I will be 100 someday. But it never ends. If I live to be 90 years old, I will never have no need for this book. My mom's brother, we were just talking about him the other day down in Oklahoma. That man loved the Lord his God and read this book every morning. I mean, this guy was into it. He was an awesome man of God. And he was a Baptist. That was a joke. I shouldn't have said that. No, he's a good man. He really was. So, what I'm going to say about the solar eclipse is this. I've got it written down. The solar eclipse of 2017 is lame in comparison to what God wants to show me and what God has showed me and what He wants to show you. I'm telling you, that eclipse is going to be awesome. I don't know if I'm going to be on a train. I don't know if I'm going to be at home. I don't know where I'm, maybe at the motel. I don't know. I want to see it. It is awesome. There's some awesomeness about this thing coming up. But guess what? Some of us that have a different perspective, a God-like perspective, will be happy that we saw it, and it'll be awesome. I'm talking about after it's over. But there are so many people that are going to just race to see it. And then they're going to find out that the next day their life is still undone. It's not exciting. It's not adventurous. And again, I know, well, it's not, it has very little meaning. And as Moses, you know, the fleeting pleasures of sin that he avoided and made a good choice, he doesn't miss it. You know, he never missed that opportunity to stick his toes back in the waters of Egypt and hang out in that mix and hang out in that world. And luckily, I've done a pretty good job of not doing it myself. But I didn't plan this. I knew I wanted to use this, the future is bright for us as the church. But I knew that verse was going to be. But I didn't know it was going to sound so catchy. The future is bright if we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to look to the Word of God. And I want to say that you dads and you moms in the home, even though you trust us with your children and from Bible Adventure Hour to Children's Church and the other ministries and opportunities, you have the ability to be the primary teacher of these things. Think Deuteronomy 6 and 11, eat, drink, and sleep, Jesus. You are the primary instructors, and you can do it. You can lay hands on them. You can have a Bible study in your nice house, a little devotion. And you don't need Pastor Case because of his knowledge of the Word, which is great, no doubt about it. He wants to give you the truth so that you can give it to your children and that they can give it to the next generation, and on it goes. And you can do it. And I can continue to fight this good fight and do well. So I am actually done, Pastor, and I thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, brother. All right, let's stand if we could. What we see is a product of conversion. God has done a great work. enemy had plans for Jeff's life, and the end of that was destruction. And the miraculous turnaround, and some of you may be here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior yet. You haven't come to believe as Jeff has. And God has a plan for your life. He's got a great turnaround for you. Just close our eyes for a moment. Just between you and I, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, say, please pray for me. I'd be very glad to do that. I'll pray for you after the service. And so if you could raise your hand so I can remember who to pray for. And I'd be glad to pray with you as well if you'd like. Just raise your hand so I can remember who to pray for. God loved you. He's gone to great lengths to demonstrate his love by sending his own Son. And whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. Sisters, I want to close and pray for you today. And considering the contrast between Moses and between Lot's wife, and this matter of Lot's wife turning around was so significant that even Jesus told an audience, he said, remember Lot's wife? And he was saying it to the chosen people of his day. And the Holy Spirit is reminding us, because we can get sucked back into the world. It's almost like a vortex, and it's got an allure, and there's a lot of lures, and the enemy can paint us pictures, and nostalgic pictures, and so much better back then, and we can begin to be drawn back if we don't have the antidote of God's Word and truth in our life. And if you say, I don't want to be a victim of turning back. I don't want to be like Lot's wife. I want to remember Lot's wife. Why don't you come and stand in the front with me? I'd certainly be down here for that. I don't want to turn back and become part of the destruction. She became a pillar of salt. Sodom and Gomorrah was reduced to ashes in a matter of minutes. But because her heart was there, she became part of the destruction. We look back and we treasure the world. We love the world. And we try to make earth heaven. We could be caught up in its destruction. Far be it from us. Lord, we ask together that you would help us. Let us make the good choices. Let us consider the times and the seasons, the days that we have. Help us to eat at your table. Help us to drink of you. Help us, Lord, to not prefer the sugar-coated poison that the world offers, the shiny versions of death. Help us to cling to you, Jesus Christ. And as we cling to you, we can enjoy what you give us in this life. But we see you first and foremost. And we're not living for the world, Lord. We're living for you. Bless and keep, Lord, each of these. Let there be a shield about their hearts. Guard their hearts and minds. Let them not look back with longing and anything in this world, Lord. May we look unto you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Godspeed to you.